We have a lot to do today. So if you come along with me as we go through this particular message, and I feel that you are with me along the way, then I won't feel the need to repeat myself so much, and we'll be out of here a little bit quicker. Is that a deal? All right. The last couple of weeks, I've been listening to an online internet radio site called oneplace.com. Mm-hmm. I do so listening to preachers that I like to hear, but just by happenstance, I happened to run across a section with Reverend Robert Jeffers, a Dallas area pastor who runs a ministry called Pathway to Victory. I saw that he found himself in a debate on Channel 8 in Dallas about the nature and the meaning of God's word. The debate that was taking place was about the newly passed marriage laws that on the one side, the Christian right is saying that marriage is a religious institution and it should be defined as something taking place between one man and one woman. And on the other side, there's a different opinion that marriage should be between two people who love each other no matter what the situation or circumstance. I really enjoyed the way Dr. Jeffers handled that, and I was very impressed because he didn't give any opinions. He didn't talk about how he felt about the issue. He only expounded upon God's word. As I watched that, I started to see other things that my eyes were open to that young people are going to have to deal with as they go through life. Some of us older people are a bit more seasoned and have been around the block a few times, but the young people, as they go to college and go out to live their lives, they're going to have to deal with all of these various opinions. And a lot of these opinions that take place in the world today are not rooted in the word of God. The second most outrageous position that I saw that Dr. Jeffers had to deal with, and by the way, I didn't mention to you that the debate took place between another preacher from a denomination, if you want to call it that, called the United Church of Christ. The second most outrageous position I heard them put forth was that God's word is evolving to include things like homosexual marriage and openly homosexual pastors and bishops. I call that the second most outrageous statement. The most outrageous statement that was made was that God is still adding to his word, and that his word is evolving, and that God is still depending upon human beings to give his current position. So essentially what he's saying is you can't trust God's word. He's saying that Jesus Christ is not the final authority, and he's saying you have to look at our preachers to find out what God is saying today. Now I'd like for you to come with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14. Say, got it? When you got it? I want to read chapter 14, verse 6. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. Mm-hmm. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And I'd like to talk to you from this thought. Jesus is. Jesus is. We see a lot of things coming up to this particular statement that Jesus makes today. Jesus had just finished the memorial supper. And now he is explaining the need to his disciples that he has to go away. Right. Now, he had been speaking about this times before, but on this day, the time grew near. Jesus had gone through several times where his life had been seemingly threatened. And we see in scripture that the Bible would say that his time had not yet come. But on this particular day, his time had come. So he is reassuring the disciples by telling them that I have to go away, and I've told you this before. I'm giving you my final instructions. I want you to love one another the way I've shown that I love you. This is how you're going to be successful in showing others that you're my disciples. He says that I want to make sure that you're okay. I want to make sure that your heart is not troubled. You believe in God. You've been with me these years. Believe in me. I'm leaving you, but I want you to know that as surely as I left you, I'm going to come back. As Jesus is talking to his disciples about these things, you see the picture of a loving parent speaking to a child. Now, those of us who have children, we know that sometimes we talk to our children and they say, Mama or Daddy, I really don't know what you're talking about. And you say to them, oh, yes, you do. You know the answer to that. Just think a little harder and it'll come to you. I know that you know it. So as Jesus is talking, one of the more outspoken disciples says that, Jesus, we don't know the place that you're going. And if we don't know the place that you're going, it's not possible for us to know the way. So then Jesus responds by making one of his seven I am statements. Now, these statements are very important in understanding the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus says that I am. Now, I am is a very interesting expression. The way it is written about in the Greek, you can look at it as saying I myself and only I am. So it's a double emphasized word. Not only I am, but I am the only one who is. Not only I am the only one who was. Not only I am, but I am the only one who will be. This is it. See, the mistake that some people make is that there's some sort of option when it comes to God and his creation. They think that there's some sort of option when it comes to the redemption of human beings back to God. But I'm here to tell you today that there is only one God, and there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. I don't want anybody to get it twisted or make any mistakes. The Word of God became flesh, and we call that fleshly body Jesus the Christ. So Jesus said, I myself, and only I am the way. I myself, and only I am the truth. I myself, and only I am the way. Jesus establishes himself as the eschaton. That means I am the end. His word says that I am the Alpha. I am the Omega. I am the beginning, and I am the end. See, it makes people mad sometimes when you just say who you are. It makes people upset sometimes when you're able to make such strong statements. But see, just like in human realms, I heard about Larry Bird and I heard about Michael Jordan. On the basketball court, they would tell you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to run around these three picks. I'm going to take a dribble back step, and then I'm going to shoot this three-pointer. And after I score on you, I want you to know that you can't handle me anytime the rest of the day. See, it makes people upset, and they say, you can't brag, you can't talk about yourself. But I'm sorry, but if it's the truth and you can do it, you might as well go on and say it. And if it's the truth and he can do it, then you might as well accept it if you're the one being talked to. So I want you to know today, it doesn't really matter how you feel about it. It doesn't really matter how you think about it. Jesus is, and he is the only one that is the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm not going to apologize like apologetics. I'm going to talk to you just really, really plain about who Jesus is. I like the way Dr. Jeffers did that. He said, you know, I'm going to be gentle. The Bible says that I have to be gentle, but I am carrying a club, and I'm going to hit you with God's word, because better for me to hit you with this club today than for the Lord to hit you with eternal damnation. So that's the choice that you have. And if you don't believe that, the one who is and the only one who said it says that you can fall down on the rock and be broken, or you can let the rock fall on you and be crushed. So that's the choice. And you can like it or you can lump it. But I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is, and he is the only way. Now, when we look at this, we think that God is saying that there's three items here, that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, and Jesus is the life. But I want to introduce you to another way of looking at that. I want to introduce to you that Jesus is the way because he is the truth and the life. I want you to know that because Jesus is the truth, he is the way. And because Jesus is the life, he is the way. So when we take a look at what's going on in the passage here, I myself, and only I, am the truth. What is the truth? Truth is conformity to a fact or to reality. It is a verified or indisputable fact. So we can look over the Gospels around the activities of Jesus and his life, and we see that he raised the dead. Yeah. We see that he healed the sick. Yeah. We see that he is able to control weather. We see that he can heal people from a distance. He healed with his hands. He healed with his mouth. He did healings that had never taken place before, like healing someone who was blind from birth. Jesus was able to multiply material. He was able to feed the 5,000 and feed the 4,000 and had things left over. And he said, you know, you can believe that I am, I myself, and only I am he, because of God's word, or you can believe because of the things you see me doing. Because I'm able to perform these miracles, you can believe I am who I say I am. But our normal understanding of truth is not sufficient in understanding Jesus' words here. Jesus doesn't mean that he conforms to any outside standard. Jesus doesn't mean that I have to be verified by anything on this earth. Jesus says that I am the standard. I am the truth. What people seem to forget today, or what people, if they ever knew it at all, is that when you read the Bible, you read Jesus' words. The Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that the Word is our life. So Jesus is more than a communicator of the truth. He is the representative truth. Jesus is more than the teacher of youth. He's more than a spiritual guide. He's more than a leader that leads us to the truth. He is the very essence of truth. If we want to know truth, we only need to study Jesus' life. What Jesus is saying is that my entire life, character, and personality within our human limitations of understanding represents the invisible God. Paul calls Jesus the image of the very invisible God. The truth is, when we look at Jesus Christ, we see the person that said, "Let there be," and then it was. Scripture tells us there's nothing that is created that wasn't created by him. Jesus says, "I myself and only I am life." Jesus said that the first chapter of the gospel says that all things came into being through him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It says that the word became flesh, and it lived among us, and we saw his glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, Jesus makes bold statements here, but he made some before as well. He says, "I have the authority to lay down my life, and I have the authority to take it back up again." So we see that Jesus is the way. And we see that Jesus is life. Jesus says that as the Father has life in him, I have life in me. Jesus makes plenty of statements about what's going to happen in the future. He says that the ones the Father gives me, I will call on the last day, and I myself and only I will give them life. So for those people out there that don't really understand what God is saying to the world today, and for those of us inside the church who bear the responsibility of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the rest of the world, I want you to understand that there is no point, there is no talk, there is nothing other than the name of Jesus Christ. If you want to know why we're all here today, it's because of the name of Jesus Christ. Paul said, if Jesus wasn't raised, then we all might as well go home. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there's really no point in being here. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there is no church of Jesus Christ. So what you're saying, preacher, what is the whole bottom line to this entire thing? I want you to know that the beginning was the Word. I want you to know that the Word called everything into being. I want you to know that that word gave life to human beings. I want you to know that when you see the smallest creeping thing, when you see the tall trees, when you look at the sun in the day and the stars at night, I want you to know that all of that spurred from him himself and only him. Out from his bosom and out from his mind and by his power, all things are in existence. I want you to know that the bench you're sitting on is because of Jesus the Christ. The lights that are above your head is because of the power of Jesus the Christ. All man can do is to reestablish and reconform things that God has made. I want you to know that there's nothing going on besides the name of Jesus Christ. Like to say, if there's one thing that you need to know, and one thing only that you need to know, is that Jesus is the Son of the living God. When you know that Jesus is the Son of the living God, then you know that the Word became flesh not because of itself. The Word did not become flesh solely to let us know that he was God. The Word became flesh because he loved us so much. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes on him should perish and not die. But it goes on to say that those who do not accept the name of Jesus Christ stand under condemnation, because the condemnation took place way back in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, which says, if you disobey me, you shall surely die. So I love the brothers and the sisters in the United Church of Christ, but I love you so much that I have to tell you the truth. So we ought to love people the same way. If you have the very reservoir and source of life within you, and you know that those who do not will perish without it, then we ought to bend over backward trying to let people know that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is the Lord. Now, when we can look in the face of life and when we can look in the face of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we can see that we are woefully short. And we are far, far out of balance, and that there is no way that we can seek to make ourselves acceptable to a holy God. That which is corrupted cannot be become incorruptible without the act of an outside hand. And all praises be to the Father that he gave his Son. So I want you to know that you've been traveling with me today. So I do not feel the need to repeat myself other than to say that Jesus is himself and only he is the way. And Jesus is the way to the Father because he is the truth. When you look in the face of Jesus Christ, you see the words on the scripture. You see the words in the Bible. So although we've never seen the face of Jesus as he walked the earth, we see all of the words that he put before us. So I'll tell you the way he told his disciples. You know the way because you know me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you see that I love you, then you know that the Father loves you as well. Because he didn't come on his own accord, but he was sent by the Father. So there's a reason to shout today. Because an all-powerful God saw fit to stoop low to humble mankind and touch him. And not only did he touch us, he quickened us. And he gave us a promise that says that as surely as I went away, I'm coming back again. And when I come back again, if you think you benefited now, you haven't seen anything yet. Because when I come back, my reward is with me. When I come back, there's going to be a new glorified body for you. And on that day, there's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more crying. There will be no more death. And there will be no more reason to hang your head down low. But on that day, it will be a Holy Ghost party. Because everyone is going to be filled with him. There will be no need for the preachers preaching. There will be no need for the teachers teaching, because he's going to touch our stony hearts and give us hearts of flesh so that we will know him the way that he knows us. So at this time, I want to open up the floor today to anyone who knows that they may not be on Jesus's team. I want you to know that he's better than Michael Jordan, and he shoots better than Larry Bird. He himself and only him is the way to the Father. So at this time, you may come. You may come by letter. You may come by Christian experience. You may come to rededicate your faith. You may come to Jesus as a candidate for baptism. The motto here at this church is, whosoever will, let him or her come. Will you come today?